Over the past decade, kosher food has definitely seen a renaissance. Butternut squash bisque and Chilean sea bass are more common on many a menu than gefilte fish and chicken soup. Kosher wines are following suit. Winemakers from around the world gathered at the 2007 Kosher Food and Wine Experience, hosted by Royal Wines. The consensus was, kosher wine has arrived and come into its own. This is not your Bubby's sweet table wine. David Herzog, host of the evening and head of Royal Wines and Herzog Wineries, offers a little history on the company, and by extension on kosher wines.
My father, Zecharyah Bruch, started the company in the United States in 1948. He was a sixth-generation winemaker. That makes me a seventh generation. And my nephews and son who run the business today are eighth generation. We come from a little town called Vrbove, which is now Slovakia, which was part of the Austrian-Hungarian kingdom. My great-grandfather was the purveyor of wine for Emperor Franz Josef. That's where we got the name Herzog, which in German means a prince and baron, and that all comes from those old good days. We produce wine all over the world. We have a beautiful winery in Oxnard, California. We produce there the Baron Herzog, the Herzog Reserve wines, and the Weinstock wines. And we try to make the best of the best and make it kosher.
Mati Herzog is David's son, who runs the day-to-day business of Royal Wines.
Most kosher wines, about 15, 20 years ago, 80% of kosher wines were known to be sweet, sugary wines. The reason for that is because wines used to be made from Concord grape, which is what we make our grape juice from. Concord grape is a bitter grape. In order to make it drinkable, you need to do the sugar. 20 years ago, my father and his family figured out that there's no reason kosher wine shouldn't be of the same quality as the non-kosher wine. So we started out, we imported wines from France, dry wines, and it was challenging, but that's what the fun of the business is. So it took a couple of years until people understood what a dry wine is meant to be. You know, people thought the opposite of sweet is bitter, but the opposite of sweet wine is dry wine. So we bought in a wine named Chateau Le Pen, and from there it's been moving up and up. We now make wine in over 15 countries, some of the greatest wines. In this room you have people from the Wine Spectator, Wine Enthusiast, New York Times, very prestigious wine writers. So it's been recognized now that kosher wine is of the same quality as their non-kosher counterparts. There are wines from New Zealand, wines from South Africa, wines from Australia, obviously Israel, France, Chile, anywhere you can imagine from any wine region you can imagine of the world. This year there's a lot of new Israeli wines. Israel is hot. There's Galil, now there's Judean Hills, there's Ella Valley, there's wines from all over Israel. There are three new wines from Barkan this year named Altitude. It's an interesting marketing idea. They're grown on different levels on top of the Golan. So there's the 412, the 620, and the 740. These are the above sea level meters on the Golan, and they're all different style wines. There are so many new wines this year. New Zealand, a Sauvignon Blanc from New Zealand called Goose Bay Sauvignon Blanc. It got a 91 in the Wine Spectator. The Wine Spectator is the preeminent decision maker on ratings of wine, absolutely. They didn't even know it's kosher when they tasted it. That's why it's great. Real fantastic wine. What we like to consider the benchmark of the kosher wine business is Herzog, and there's no question about it. Consistency, Baron Herzog and Herzog Reserves. Those are absolutely, consistently the highest rated, best value wines from California. We just 2 years ago, we built our winery in Oxnard, California, 77,000 square foot. So the kosher level has gone up tremendously because now we're in control.
Joe Herleman, Herzog's head winemaker in the Oxnard, California winery, has been with the company for 9 years.
We now have a Pinot Noir that we hadn't been making in the past. We have a Reserve Zinfandel that we haven't been making. And I think what's really exciting is there's really no difference. The biggest difference in the winemaking is that Sabbath observant Shomer Shabbos individuals are making the wine, and that's the key. And actually, I see that as an advantage to me, because very frequently in wineries, you'll have cellar crew that are just there for a very short length of time during harvest. So they may not know that much about winemaking. But when you're making kosher wine, you have to have people there year-round that have a good knowledge, one, of halacha and understand winemaking. And they have to have a better understanding. They have to have a better palate. They have to be able to smell and taste wines at a much higher level than most cellar workers are.
For what to drink at the Seder, Joe gave red and white options.
We're always introducing new wines, new things. We have the Jeunesse product, which is a Cabernet Sauvignon that's done as a very fruity and light and semi-dry, slightly has a little bit of residual sugar. So that's a new product that we have. If you were going to do the four cups, I think that maybe a nice Chenin Blanc or the Sauvignon Blanc or our Chardonnay. For a sweeter wine, the Jeunesse would work very nicely. It's a semi-dry red. And then you could also do the Black Muscat. That's always a very good choice. Great with orange chicken, Asian foods, great with that, wonderful Chinese. Doesn't really work out with the four cups, but, you know, nonetheless. And then for a red, we have the Syrah from Edna Valley, which is a reserve wine, which is just showing beautifully today. We also have the Zinfandel from the Baron Herzog line, not the reserve Zin, just the plain, just the regular Zin, which is a very, very nice wine that will work for four cups.
Walking the floor, I met Yugan from northern Spain and Christian Delbevi from France. While comparing notes with each other, Yugan explains the rather unusual path his wines took to kosher.
Hi, I'm Jürgen. I'm one of the winemakers from Capçanes, a small-sized company in northern Spain, close to Barcelona. And we moved on to the kosher winemaking roughly 10 years ago. And it's quite an interesting story because we used to be a bulk wine and a grape producer. And in 1995, the Jewish community in Barcelona told us that there could be a market for kosher wine in the States. And to become independent from this kosher, from these bulk wine and grape sales, we started to...
Bulk wine,
which is not bottled so far, and grape sales. We listened to that demand, and our first kosher wine right away has been reviewed by the two wine guys, either Robert Parker or Jose Penin, to be one of the best kosher wines and one of the best Spanish wines at all. So the history is a small-sized company, they're all Catholic, to become independent from the grape and from the bulk wine market, started to do kosher wine, finally succeeded. A good friend of mine told me once, hey, kosher means whatever you do, do the best way you can. So the way we do it, it's like winemaking like 2,000 years ago. No fining, no filtration, no cold stabilization, 40 days on the skins. We try not to take anything out of the wine. We try to keep it as virgin, as natural as possible, which finally, shows us, we like to call it the bad boy of the company because it's really a mouthful of muscle, of masculine winemaking. In our area, we try to work with the indigenous varieties. And indigenous varieties means Garnacha and Carignana. And Garnacha itself is a variety which is very fruit-driven, lots of vibrant, seductive, sweet fruit flavors. And then we add some Carignan, Carignana in our area called, and Carignana is completely way around. It's black and masculine, high acidity, high tannins, which, and both works quite well together. And then in that blend, we also add a little bit of Cabernet Sauvignon, which is like the, like to call it the natural conservative. It's like the backbone to keep the wine alive. And then it's aged for a year in new French oak barrels to soften and to add also some further herby and spicy flavors to it.
Christian points out some differences in kosher wine and the revolution he hopes Chateau Valandreau is launching.
Chateau Valandreau actually didn't come from the kosher world. You know, Chateau Valandreau was the brainchild of a couple, Jean-Luc Cunevin and Muriel Andreau. In 2001, Jean-Luc started a kosher cuvée, mostly because of his background. He's a pied noir. He comes from North Africa as a French exile in North Africa. And he grew up very close to the Jewish community. As a kid, his parents used to always cater to the Jewish community, and even during the war, they did a lot of things in providing food and helping the Jewish community. And when he came to France, he said, I really want to make the best kosher wine that exists. I want, to be the first one within Bordeaux to do this. And if it succeeds, maybe the other ones will do. Because the demand, you could see a lot of Jewish friends were like, hey, we want to buy a high-end kosher wine. With the kosher, there's a lot of things that were different. Because let's say that if you look at the wines of Valandreau, there's Valandreau is the top. Then he has a second one, which sort of became its own entity. It's called Virginie de Valandreau, which is the name of his daughter. But they created a second wine. And then they created a third one, which is now the second, the Trois de Valandreau. So what happens is that, let's say they're going to have lots that are going to be taken. They're going to go through the fermentation in these big vats, But Valandreau is 50 vats. So then through the fermentation, you know, there will be other decisions like what goes in Valandreau, what goes in Virginie. You know, that's in the kosher, they have two vats. And from the beginning to the end, it's always going to be the kosher. So there is a difference because with Valandreau, you'll take some of this and this, you know, so you have a sort of mix that will create that ultimate wine. So you have...
It's not the same combination.
It's not the same. It's the same blend as far as, like, if he says, you know, there's 70% Merlot, 30% Cabernet Franc. But it's not the same blend in the sense where it comes from different vats. You know, because wine is a living thing, you know, so whatever happens during the fermentation and the work you're doing, one vat will be different. It's not the same, you know. It's not like orange juice that you put in everywhere the same and, okay, it's going to come out. So that's why after they blend, because there's all these tastes, you know, all these flavors that come out of each vat because it's, you know, it evolved in the vat a certain way, you know. And so that's why there's a difference. That's number one. Number two is also the work being done. You know, during the alcoholic fermentation, that's the first fermentation when the sugar of the grapes becomes alcohol, you know. There's a lot of work being done at that time, what we call punching of the cap. You know, you mix all the skins, the pips, you know, all of this to bring out the flavor, the colors, and all that, the tannins. That's done, I think we do it about two times a day, you know. In the kosher on Shabbat, they don't work. So it's closed seal. You don't do any. All that is extraction. So it lasts 2 weeks, roughly, yeah. For 2 weeks, you don't have any work. So 20% of extraction is not being done. So that affects the wine. It makes it a little lighter because you don't have as much work being done at the same time. So you see all of these processes. So there's a difference. But the quality level is always reached for this. They always look for the same.
Israeli wine companies are here in force. Nachum Greenglass from Beit Meir in the Judean Hills near Jerusalem is from a relatively young winery, only 7 years old.
In the year 2000, the revolution of the boutique winery, the good quality of wineries that produce in Israel, and we are the first boutique winery that produce kosher wine in Israel. We are the only winery in Israel that the owner is the firm. We are only winery in Israel that not produce wine in Shemitah. We have a very unique wine that we produce. Most of the wine in Israel, it's like the way that the winemaker learn in Davis or in French. But our wine is in Israeli style wine that it's very, very ready to drink and very smooth, very low tannic and very good.
They have five varieties on the kosher wine market.
Now we have a rosé wine that's called Cabernet Blanc. It's a blend of Cabernet Sauvignon and Sauvignon Blanc. We have Chardonnay, it's a dry white wine. Cabernet Sauvignon, it's 100% of Cabernet Sauvignon, was aged 18 months in oak barrel. King's Blend, that it's blend from Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot and Zinfandel with two vintages. For our knowledge, it's the only wine that blend vintages and variety of grape and late harvest of Gewurztraminer.
And as for Passover recommendations?
Cabernet Blanc is very, it's very good because it's a semi-dry, a little sweet, and it's 100% of Cabernet Sauvignon, like 100% of grape, so it's very good for bracha.
At the next table stands Asaf Paz, a winemaker now in his 10th vintage with Binyamina Winery.
We are innovating all the time. We are the first winery that released a varietal Tempranillo and a varietal Viognier in Israel, new varieties that came in. And now we are launching a new series of wine in the United States called the Yogev. Yogev is the Hebrew name for a farmer, a grape grower, and we wanted to put them in the front and to show the quality of our wine through the skills of our farmers. That's what we did with the Yogev. It's four different wines, one dry white wine, one dry rosé, and two red wines, a mixture. All of them are blend. None of them is a varietal wines. And every wine contain fruit from a certain grower or growers, and we write each grower name on the bottle and the name of the village it came from. And that's unique in the wine world. We are the first to do that.
How many different villages do the...
Are they coming from?
It's 9 different farmers all through the country.
Okay, so what would you recommend, Pesach, when they sit down to their 4 cups of wine?
Pesach will be perfect for the Yogev, to celebrate the Yogev entrance to the United States, because we need 4 glasses. We start with the rosé, because the rosé could be a very nice aperitif, and because the rosé is dry, it's going very well with the food. We continue with the white wine, the dry white wine, and then go to the Cabernet Sauvignon Shiraz, which is a little bit softer and spicy, and then the Cabernet Sauvignon Merlot, which is a little bit more serious. And then if we can keep a 5th glass, we take the late harvest Gewürztraminer, which is a very high dessert wine, high quality dessert wine made from late picked Gewürztraminer grapes.
Being that you started out as a pastry chef, cooking with wine, what you'd recommend?
Cooking with wine, I have few rules. First of all, never cook with the wine that you want to drink all by itself. Always cook with a good wine. The legend that you cook with a very bad wine gives you very bad dishes. If you invest in good meat and you invest in good spice and herbs and mushrooms and vegetables, put a few more dollars on the bottle and buy something decent that you can pour yourself a glass while you're cooking. And I assure you that what you're preparing will be much better. Secondly, it's very good to drink along with the dish you made the same wine that you cooked with. So that brings me back to the first rule: cook with the good wine.
Don't drink it.
Yeah.
Don't cook with it.
And the last thing, a lot of research shows us that wine have a good influence about our body. If you drink a good wine and that have a high quantity of polyphenols and it's rich, it can neutralize a lot of toxic ingredients in the food. And it's happening while you're drinking the wine with the food, and it's also happening while you're macerating a little bit the food inside the wine, like you making a marinade with wine, or you're putting a chicken or a beef inside the wine before you cook it. It's have a very good effect on the let's call it the benefit of wine to your body. It neutralizes a lot of bad materials or bad things that's inside the meat and help you live a better life.
Sigal, bought 5 years ago by Barkan, combines old and new.
Sigal is an old winery in Kibbutz Fulda in Israel, but it's a 200-year-old operation, starting in White Russia as vodka producing, then coming to Israel and doing wine from the 40s. We are considered the pioneers in planting vineyards in the Galilee. One of our best-known series in the States is the Galilee Heights, and it was named after our pioneering effort in the Galilee. We try to do unique wines. We believe that if wine is a little bit technology and a little bit form of art, then it, as a form of art, it should bear the handprint, the handwrite of its author. So we're trying to do unique wines with special nature and special characteristics. For this season, what new will be our Syrah, which is coming out. I mean Syrah and not Shiraz. We are doing it from the French clone in European style, not in Austrian style. We will have, the fusion, the white and the red.
The
fusion is a concept wine. It's a wine made to be easy to drink. It's made from grapes from our very best vineyards, like the Galilee Heights series, but in a style that will make it very appealing to everybody in any situation. It's a good sipping wine. It's a wine you could have with a meal, but also with a friend, as wine in a glass at the bar. We have a white and we have a red. And the white is wooded and the red is not. Opposite the what usually would be done. To serve this purpose, we wooded a little bit the white so the acidity will be hidden. So you can have it with food, but also without food as a sipping drink on the bar. The red is from the classical Bordeaux varieties, but without wood to make it easy to drink. And our, of course, our top-end wine, the unfiltered, which is very successful in the States, the Segal Unfiltered Cabernet, will release our 2005 vintage, which I, as a winemaker, is very proud of. I think it's the best unfiltered wine ever made.
Winemaking is really simple to Carmel's chief winemaker, Lior Luxer.
It's really simple. You crush the grapes and that's about it.
On a more serious note, he tells about the many wines Carmel has on the American market. Something for everyone.
We got two new series in the American market. One is called Young Selected. These are low alcohol, semi-sweet, sparkling wines meant to be enjoyed and drank, not to be tasted. These are wines for drinking. These are fun wines. Young 2006 vintage. That's on one end. On the other hand, you got the Appellation series, which is a premium series. Usually a blend of 3 to 5 vineyards from one region. For example, the Upper Galilee or the Judean Hills. These are premium wines and can't be enjoyed when they're released, or can't be set aside and aged for 3 to 5 years.
As for recommendations for this Passover, he offers 3 different kinds.
I'd like to give 3 different recommendations if I can. A, private collection series, please try the Cabernet or the Merlot. Appellation, go for something new. Old Vine Carignan or Petit Syrah. And if you're into premium wine, do pick a bottle of the limited edition 2003.
And would you give any recommendations for the non-wine drinkers, the non-big wine drinkers in our audience?
Yeah. Do try a Muscato or a Carignano. Even people that are not usually wine drinkers will enjoy them. They're sweet, they're low alcohol, they're fizzy, they're fun.
Doobie Silverstein, a wine enthusiast who came to see what's out there, is definitely having fun and quite impressed. He came to taste some new wines and walked away with a little education.
What I think was really the education I got tonight, having talked to a couple of different winemakers, especially from France, is that a lot of the chateaus and vineyards there are producing their regular wines in a kosher version and exporting it to the United States and to Israel. And if you look at the French wine tables over there, there's really no...
Back table?
They're mostly along the back wall over there. And the labels are very much the kind you'd find in any liquor store, any wine store, kosher or not kosher. I was talking to a gentleman from Chile who he's telling me his vineyard produces the same wine in both a kosher and a non-kosher version. There's just a couple of minor differences in the fermentation process and, of course, the rabbinical supervision. Otherwise, it's the same wine. So I think that's
kosher wine.
Yeah. Well, also, you know, it also kind of what it tells you really is that the demand for kosher wines has reached the point where a vineyard's willing to produce a whole segment of their batch for that market because there's enough demand for it.
For those of you looking for a heavier wine, it seems Spanish or Chilean wines are the way to go. The Alfasi representative lauds the robust flavor of Chilean wines.
Normally, Chilean wines are not very light. They got such a nice body, okay? Spanish do have quite a strong body, like Cabernet, Cabernet Reserve. On the French wines, Californians, for us, like Chileans, it seems to be too light. It's like a Cabernet is like a Merlot for us. So Spanish wines are more related to the Chilean style. Even though we do follow a French process, the grape itself, it's stronger because we've got different climate conditions. Okay.
Okay. Is there any one wine you would recommend to our audience?
Well, I personally like on the varietal that is a very good price quality ratio. The Merlot Alfasi varietal, it's a very good wine at a very fair price.
As the quality and the demand for kosher wine rises, exciting things are in store for the kosher wine drinker. So try something new. And in the words of Lior, Carmel's chief winemaker,
don't be afraid of wine.
That's our wine report. This is Lisa Halberstam, and thanks for listening to OU Radio.